welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Colvin. I'm here with my guest, Penny Pierce, and her book, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration. Penny is a renowned clairvoyant and empath and a coach and a development trainer who has written a previous book called The Intuitive Way and also The Present Moment. Penny is has a book with a lot of great information about frequency, especially in terms of how you can use this information to help create the life that you would like to create and also recognize blocks that might be in your way. Penny, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed your book.
Thank you.
Cover is very, very illuminating, shall we say?
Yeah, it's sort of carries the whole energy of the book.
It does.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think we need to start at the beginning, which is how you got involved in consciousness and other interests that you have, the empathic nature that you have, and then we can go on and tell folks how your book can help them with their lives.
Sure. My background really early on in my life was as a corporate art director and graphic designer, so I was very interested in symbols and the whole creative process, which I suppose kept me fairly open until I could really discover that it was intuition that I was really most fascinated with and all the invisible processes that happen below the surface. And I eventually sort of just migrated out to Northern California just at the time when all the sort of New Age things were happening. But that offered me opportunities to study, oh gosh, everything from meditation to nutrition to even the development of clairvoyance. They had classes to do that, which I didn't even know existed. And so I studied it and found I had been a pretty prolific dreamer with some very unusual sort of dreams, which I didn't realize. And then that just led me into this fascination with understanding how the inner world creates the outer world, which then led me into doing intuitive readings for people and looking at the patterns in their lives that were under the surface, how they could shift those patterns, how consciousness worked, and then how intuition worked, and how eventually that led me to really be fascinated with transformation. This whole idea that things seem to be accelerating and speeding up and our consciousness is changing because of that. So eventually the frequency book came out of that, of this idea that everything is really speeding up its vibration, you know, and we're starting to live in a world based on energy. So that's it in a nutshell.
Great. No, that's wonderful. I also took clairvoyant lessons when I was a plastic surgeon in Ohio because I was bored. You talk about boredom in your book, which I enjoyed. I was very bored in Ohio, so I ended up taking clairvoyant lessons. It was $5 a class, which tells you how long ago it was. But in any case, we go to clairvoyance mainly because these individuals are more sensitive than we are and that they can read things and sense things that we cannot. But your book is all about how to learn to do that for yourself.
That's right. I mean, I think that's a myth that these people are more sensitive or somehow talented than we are. And my developmental pattern really is the example of that, so that, you know, you always hear these old stories of the psychics who fell off a ladder and hit their head or, you know, whatever. And I don't think that's necessary at all. I think we're all built to understand energy. You know, we're all basically compassionate beings. You know, babies are very tuned into empathy. That's the way we communicate, you know, at our fundamental level. I think we just get trained out of it by becoming too mental.
I have a theory about accidents, though. You know, I don't know whether you know, but I'm a trauma surgeon, and I've been in ERs for, I'm not currently, but I was in ERs for about 20 years. receiving the accident victims as they came in, and then following them along, of course, through their post-op course and even, you know, later than that. And I have a theory that when you're involved in a car accident, there's huge forces of energy involved, as you might imagine if you've ever had one. And I believe that those forces of energy do rearrange the energy body, often changing things in the Carlos Castaneda's terminology, the assemblage point or whatever.
Yes, yes.
But also that, I mean, what I've heard spiritually is that people drop karma because of the suffering with the injuries. They drop karma, and then that when you undergo pain and suffering and then get through it, then you find yourself at a higher vibratory level. And so some of my patients actually became clairvoyant after they had their car accidents.
Yes.
And they may or may not have had head trauma, but I think it actually has to do with shifting your vibrational level.
Well, I often talk about that too. I think you're right that accidents and sudden jarrings of the body do shift either that assemblage point, or they just crack you open somehow energetically,
right,
and allow often some of the information that's stored at the higher frequencies of the energy bodies. Because I think we have these levels of our, you know, of our body, and
right, we do.
The higher frequency you go, the more information is stored at a higher kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mind is very fixated on some description of reality that I'm a woman, I went to college, I do this work, you know.
I'm my business card.
Yes, my business card identity.
Yeah.
And we're fixated on that, and that's what we think reality is. A sudden accident or blow or fall can just kind of crack that open a little so that suddenly you see more.
Right.
I call it a wedge experience in my intuition book. It's often what opens people into intuitive development, is they suddenly realize, oh, there's more to me. Now, sometimes you're right, that can come in as, I mean, literally, new abilities. And sometimes it's just this sense that I'm missing something and I really want to start on a spiritual path, or I really need to start looking at things. But I always call it sort of like a chiropractic adjustment from on high.
or the cosmic 2x4.
Yeah, right.
Well, Spirit kept telling me to slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down, and I didn't, so I fell and broke my arm.
Yeah. You know, I think actually also even regular illnesses can do that.
Yeah,
in a way,
it's
too.
True.
It's slower. It's not quite as shocking and fast.
Yeah.
But it'll do that too, and I think that's partly that those old ideas or fear ideas that are stored in the subconscious are starting to surface.
And illnesses can also prevent you from going on a trip. I mean, I've had that happen.
Oh yeah,
where, you know, I was all packed, ready to go, but I wasn't supposed to go, and then boom, you know, I got deathly ill, high fevers, and then, you know, everybody understood why I wasn't coming, you know.
Yes.
And I didn't want, I actually wanted to go, but for some reason I wasn't supposed to go.
Yes.
And I found that out later through more intuitive methods, but, you know, it was very interesting that illness and delays and accidents can keep you from going down the wrong path. For example, I was interviewing Colette Baron-Reed, who's the author of Remembering the Future. She's an intuitive that works with Sylvia Brown. And she said, oh, the reason why you broke your arm is you were going to get cancer. And she's absolutely right. I was headed toward lung cancer.
Uh-huh.
So by resting for 4 months, I cleared it out.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, my guidance, and I've been clairvoyant since I can remember, and my guidance was slow down, slow down, slow down, and I didn't feel like I could. You know, I felt like I was on... I was taking care of people injured from silicone breast implants, and I didn't feel like I could slow down because they were so deathly ill. But I slowed down, nonetheless.
You know, part of the thing of working with all this frequency information and saturating myself into this reality of energy is that I've really gotten in touch with this whole idea of being in the flow. You know, that we say that so often, but really... The flow
you can
itself.
Feel when you are.
Yeah,
you
can
really
feel that alignment. It's a natural harmony and trust that comes into you easily. And So I've gotten into this practice now, really, of trusting the flow, which means mm-hmm. just whatever's coming to me in the moment or whatever reality seems to be presenting, and then say, well, okay, what is that showing me? And constantly mm-hmm. talking to myself about why am I noticing this now? Why is this happening this way now? And mm-hmm. it's something my mind doesn't like, and yet my inner self is orchestrating it. So I kind of feel like the flow is coming from the soul, but not just
it
my
is.
Soul, but everyone's soul. You know,
right.
it's all the collective self.
Probably coming through the soul.
Yeah.
You know, from the collective through the soul into your third dimensional awareness. I've always found that it's so interesting to see which animals show up in my awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I see all sorts of animals, everything from turkey vultures to deer to foxes. I see foxes all the time. And mm-hmm. there was a rattlesnake in my crawl space, and we got some scientific information on it. There's like no rattlesnakes anywhere in this area. So, you know, that was interesting.
Uh-huh.
And because I was down in my crawl space, we had a flood in Atlanta. I was pulling rugs out, and I said, I heard very clearly, take your cell phone. So I turned around, went and got my cell phone, and I still pulled the rugs out. But the next day, my person who's helping me with maintenance went down there, and he had the thought, what if I was bit by a snake down there? And sure enough, when he went in, there was a rattler poised to strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you just have to pay attention.
Well, it's partly we get impressions, you know, and those thoughts like he had is an impression
yeah,
of a thought
impression.
Of the actual reality of the snake.
That was there.
As the thought, you know, and
yeah.
a lot of what
And thank goodness he paid attention and didn't dismiss it.
Right, and that's the new skill.
Because it might have just been, you know, it could have just been a split second of him not being aware, and
sure.
then that snake would have struck.
Well, we gloss over those things constantly.
Yeah.
We're not in the habit of real, I call it your inner perceiver.
Mm-hmm.
That there's this function inside of each of us. Maybe it's the soul or the Holy Spirit or whatever
mm-hmm.
you want to call it, but it's that thing that causes you to notice what you notice that day.
Right.
And I notice a certain sequence of things. You notice a different sequence of things. We could
mm-hmm.
be walking down the same street and our realities
mm-hmm.
would be different. But I need to notice what I need to notice so that I'll learn what I need to learn or be able to create what I'm supposed to create.
I have
and,
a... I'm yeah. sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just think that it's we don't listen to ourselves, or we don't think that what we're noticing is that important.
Well, actually, it can be very important.
Yeah.
I used to go into the ER. I had this kind of funny little thing that I did sometimes when I was guided to. I would ask the patient, didn't something tell you not to do that? Like, one thing that comes to mind is a woman who at 3 in the morning decided to go to the Waffle House with some of her friends, and ended up I guess the group got into an argument with the cook there, and the cook took the condiment tray and broke it over her head. And when I saw her in the ER, she had multiple lacerations and just, you know, horrible mess. I mean, it took hours to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I asked her is, didn't something tell you not to go to the Waffle House? And she said yes. Which is interesting, because, you know, this is like a spiritual conversation in the ER. She said, yes. I said, well, why did you go? She said, my friends talked me into it.
Ah.
You see, you go back to the
right.
original
Social
thing,
pressure.
The original thing where I know that something warns you not to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm there to point it out to her so that, I mean, because I hear, of course, to ask her that. And her soul is wanting her to say, see, we told you so.
Yeah.
You know, like, you do have this protection if you'll listen.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. It's like such a, I don't know, I think it's one of the most important new skills we can have for today. Partly is because we need to be much more centered within ourselves in what I'm calling your home frequency. You know, in
mm-hmm.
the book, it's,
right.
this whole thing about vibration is what I've really seen is that, you know, we each have a personal vibration, which is whatever you're vibrating today. It could be a combination of the way your body's feeling, how healthy you are, and how your emotions are functioning, if you're happy or depressed, how your mind is functioning, if you're fixated or open-minded and flexible. And that varies constantly. It's in constant flux, depending on who you're around or what happens to you and the weather or whatever. But we also have this home frequency, which is that vibration inside that you could say it comes from the soul, or it's your basic core self that really never changes. It's so eternal and full of joy and wisdom, and it doesn't really go into negative spaces. It just stays very steadily connected to everything. So we have a choice at any moment, really, whether we want to identify with the external fluctuating personal vibration, which is, you know, being affected by everybody out in the outside world, or get centered into the home frequency and saturate with that, and then radiate that. And when you do, your reality starts to shift. And like we were saying before, you start to become aware of higher frequency knowledge, higher frequency feelings, higher frequency people, you know, new opportunities. Everything starts to kind of improve, and you move more toward your destiny, which is, you know, what you're really built to do. So there's no more self-sacrifice. And I think that that whole thing of sacrificing ourselves, because just that's what we expect the world to be, is kind of a thing of the past.
I think it is too. I find that right now during this phase that I prefer to be at home alone, because I want to take advantage of that home frequency. And maybe later on I'll venture out more, but right now, given the phase of development that I think a lot of us are in.
Well, I think so, because
we just
want to
be more in that home frequency.
Well, you have to discriminate it first, as opposed to all the things that are in the outer world. And I find, like, for instance, I can't go much out into restaurants and shopping malls anymore, because there's so much music piped in everywhere. There's constant noise pollution.
Right.
Everybody wants to brand their restaurant by some kind of music, and it's too loud. And I can't feel anything. It's like it's a huge distraction from my inner self. And maybe that's why they're doing it, is they're sort of trying to help people forget about what's bothering them in the world or something.
But maybe so.
But I think we all are a bit sort of cocooning in a way to be able to discriminate who we really are, how we want to feel, or what, you know, it's like striking your tuning fork. Of your true vibration, a ding, you know, you've got to find it first.
And I think that the economic situation right now is conducive to that. You know, when we are economically very, very successful, as a nation, I'm talking about more as a whole, we're out there partying, going to Las Vegas, you know, doing this, doing that, running all over the world. But when we're more constricted, and this is a time of constriction, where we not constrict, you know, but go within.
It's yes.
Like instead of going, you know, the in-breath and the out-breath, we're going more inward to find that home frequency and to also build upon it. I think that that is shifting. A lot of people have this high-pitched
right
in your ear right now.
And that's willpower. See, the high pitch is like, I got to do more in less time.
And
rather than when you sink into your home frequency and relax, you radiate out and you become so interconnected with everything that it all starts to happen with synchronicity and coincidence, and people help you, and it just turns around so that it's very joyful.
Right.
And you're calm. So really the highest frequency is the calmest. It's just like with brainwave training, you know, when you get into theta and delta, you're very, 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 very calm. And beta, the fastest one, is the, you know, the normal, ordinary reality, kind of buzzy.
So your book talks about the idea that our outer reality is simply a projection or a reflection of what's going on within us, and I think that's a very important concept.
It is that, well, even not that, because even saying it that way makes it seem like it's separate from us, right? It's all one reality, one unified field.
Right.
So whatever you're getting in your mind in that moment your outer reality is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Your inner and outer reality are exactly the same in any given moment. So you can change the thoughts you think. You can change the frequency that you hold or choose to think about or choose to identify with. And as you get used to kind of saturating into that, your outer reality matches it because
mm-hmm.
it is that. But a lot of us are kind of unconscious or we're glossing over those inner messages, right? And
mm-hmm.
so that a lot of our reality is coming out of our subconscious fear. You know,
right.
Oh, what'll happen if I lose all my money, or what'll happen if this, or, you know.
Right.
Or we sort of unconsciously expect suffering or self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And or we consciously expect it, you know, through childhood programming or whatever it is.
Right.
But, yeah, so what I'm trying to help people see is that we are at choice about the only thing we can control is how we want to feel in any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when bad things happen, so-called bad, it's just really probably a contraction of energy, which is not bad at all. It's just part of the natural flow, that we don't have to make it into anything negative. Just stay with the flow, be with it, don't judge it, don't label it, then choose again to feel the way you love to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I really? You know, go back into it. And it passes and moves on to the next thing, and then you see why it happened. Often, like you said, you know, a lot of times those accidents or negative things pop up in our reality because the soul is trying to get us to see something. You know,
That's
there's
true.
A hidden good reason
mm-hmm.
in there.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about this with one of my other doctors. Why do you think things happen in threes?
Yeah, they do seem to happen in threes.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, having worked with numerology for a really long time,
mm-hmm.
the meaning of the numbers, you know, one is emergence, where something
mm-hmm.
just suddenly sprouts and there you are. You've become a single thing, a person.
Mm-hmm.
Two is where you realize there's an outside world and you have this back and forth oppositional kind of reality. And that is an unreconciled separation. With number two, you go back and forth between I am me, and then what's that other thing over there, then I'm over there, then I'm back to here, then I'm over there, there's a tension in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's conflict. Three is the natural resolution of that tension. And so two naturally wants to go to three, where three is that overview of
mm-hmm.
the two below it. You know, if you think of
right.
it as the point of the top of the triangle looking down at the base,
mm-hmm.
you're seeing, oh, I see why those two things are in opposition. They're really like the yin-yang symbol. They go
right.
together and turn into each other. Aha!
Mm-hmm.
So three is always about a sort of resolution and the aha experience. You know, so I think that's why the mind or the consciousness tends to move into three
mm-hmm.
naturally.
I just always wondered why things happen in threes. I was sure that there was some reason.
And then four is the physicalization of that
mm-hmm.
insight. It's
right.
where it starts to become real, then you bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Numbers are very interesting.
They are. They really are. So what can people do these days to help tune into their home frequency?
I think that we need quiet is one of the main things.
Don't go to the mall.
Yeah, well, we need to kind of introduce moments of quiet more and more into our reality where we're not distracting ourselves with iPods and videos and
mm-hmm.
books or whatever it is. And just listen to the quiet and drop in a little more. So that's a huge thing. But also, one of the exercises I have in the book is to kind of consciously list your worst possible scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Make it conscious. All the things mm-hmm. you're afraid of. Oh, what would happen if this went wrong? Oh, this would happen, and then this would happen, and then this would happen. And then see how it feels when you're feeling your absolute worst
mm-hmm.
and what happens to your body when you get really contracted. Then set that aside and move over and start creating your best possible scenario. What would happen if everything went right and I had good luck and people really took care of me and they loved me and I got everything I wanted and even more? And then notice how your body feels when that becomes your actual reality. In your imagination, your body will expand and get childlike and bubbly and, you know, and then go back to the negative one. Mm-hmm. And immediately you feel how contracting and uncomfortable mm-hmm. that feels when you start having those kind of thoughts. Then you go back to the positive one again. And you go, oh, so which one do I like better?
Right.
And you go, okay, I think I'll choose my preferred reality.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a choice about which way I want to feel, now I know I really love this other way, you know, this good way. But you have to be able to recognize the physical sensations, even the musculature patterns, mm-hmm. you know, of when you're contracted in negativity and powerlessness, for instance. There's a certain body posture, inner posture, and, you know, it doesn't feel good. So why would we ever choose it?
True. Well, yeah, first we do have to become aware of it.
Yeah.
Just to share a little bit about what happened to me, my radio in my car broke 11 times. So that gives you an idea a little how stubborn I am.
Hello.
So I had it replaced 11 times, but then I turned it off. It was under warranty. I think the people at the Toyota place thought I was insane. But it did break 11 times. And then I did come up with the idea of flashcards, and so I asked Spirit to bring up flashcards of fears in my subconscious.
Ah.
And I would just sit there and kind of like watch a movie. I'd look at it, and then, like you said, I would imagine it came into being and how I would handle it and how it would be and how it would feel, and then I just released it. I just kind of threw the flashcard away.
Yes.
And I did that until there was nothing else to come up.
Yes, and then replace it with the way you want to feel.
That's I didn't do that, but that is an excellent suggestion.
Because the body needs to know what the instructions are.
Right.
You know, and if you start changing over to a new set of instructions, like now we're going to feel good, body, you know, no more self-sacrifice.
Right. Yeah.
And that's that self-sacrifice is not the normal way, which mm-hmm. we're programmed to think it is. So
right.
if you start changing that programming, you have to give the body actual physical states of being that says, this is the new way. See how it feels? It's like,
right.
you know, it's like a little child
mm-hmm.
or a dog you know, when you're training a dog.
Walk this way.
Yeah, now this is the way we're going to do it. And then the body will test you. It'll
mm-hmm.
go, are you sure you mean this? Remember, we've always been doing it this way. And
mm-hmm.
you'll create unconsciously another situation that's about self-sacrifice or suffering or pain
mm-hmm.
or a bad relationship or loss or something, just because the body is testing the
mm-hmm.
new method. And then you have to catch it. Instead of saying, oh gosh, you know, I'm just a loser and nothing works for me,
mm-hmm.
which validates the old reality, instead you say, oops, you know, this is not the new reality, body. This is the old one. And now the new one feels like this.
Right.
And reinforce it. And then, again, three times.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the body will test it three times.
There's that
and
number
after,
three again.
There it is. And after the third time of you telling the body that,
nope.
hey, this is not it. This
mm-hmm.
is the way we want to feel.
Right.
It starts to get it. And
yep.
then it can start to physicalize it and make it real. And then your reality starts to shift, and things are much, they flow more easily, you have more good luck, or you just don't stay in any sort of negative contraction very long, because, okay, well, that's fine, but that's not the way I like to feel, so I'll just move on.
Right.
And things really do start to change. It's awesome.
Well, that's something that I think people need to understand, the connection and the oneness between the inner reality and the outer reality.
Mm-hmm.
And metaphysics and some of the great traditions teach us that actually the outer reality is all illusionary. It's not even real. It's like a screen on which consciousness projects what's within you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the lessons that you're learning and the belief systems you're shifting. So all you have to do is look in your outer reality to see what you're working on, because you may not be aware of it.
And of course, if it's all one unified field, the physical reality is the same thing that's going on inside you, but at a slower frequency. That's all.
Right.
So you have a slow frequency of one kind of thinking, then you have your emotional reality of that kind of thinking, and that feels a different way, but it's parallel, and then you have a mental reality of that way, those ideas, right, and that's another kind of feeling. Then you
right.
have spiritual reality that's higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all happening simultaneously, but at different frequencies. So part of what we're trying to do is get our physical reality into a higher frequency, so that it can very easily translate our spiritual knowledge into
mm-hmm.
physical reality without the interference of negative emotion and negative thinking or fixed beliefs that are in the way. Because the spirit's very fluid, and
mm-hmm.
it changes instantly to whatever is needed. So that if you will let that happen and not be in the way of that with some kind of fixed ideas, then you'll always be appropriate. You know, it'll always work. And you won't have to worry so much about maintaining everything and monitoring everything, and being good and being, you know, right and all those things.
Well, make sure my heart keeps beating and my, you know, my gut keeps digesting food and, you know, enough to drive you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think
that's what trust is all about.
Yeah. I think it's really important right now, though, to pay attention to what your book is saying, because I do believe that we're, with this galactic alignment that's coming up, new waves of energy are coming in that actually will make this creative process much quicker. So if you're creating in the negative, the physical reality will happen a lot quicker, and if you're creating in the positive, same thing. But
that's right. And those waves are coming. They have been coming. They, you know, you feel them every year, the real intensification times. And then we've been in sort of a lull for a little while. Now it's getting intense again.
Just wait till 12-12.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, I feel like it's in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stay in the moment and, you know, the future's not even real. You know, if you're thinking about 2012, it's here now. You know, you're in it
mm-hmm.
now. And the only thing you can do is match the frequency of the planet. Match the frequency of what's running through the world right now. Become one with it. And then you'll be very comfortable, no matter what's happening.
I was interviewing the author of 2012, Catastrophe Awakening. And in that book, he states that the Schumann frequency of the planet used to be 7.63. And now is 8.3.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that fascinating?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a physical measurement. So the
yes.
planet is vibrating at a higher rate. That's just for all of those listeners out there who might think that what we're saying is crazy.
Well, there's the Schumann
there's actually scientific evidence that the planet's speeding up its frequency.
Yeah, no, they have the Schumann resonance is one of those that measures the actual vibration in the middle of the Earth.
And, right.
Yeah, those things are recorded. But, you know, if you just ask almost anybody, they can feel the acceleration. I think if I keep thinking...
Like what happened to last year?
Yeah. Well, if you look back, not even that far into history, you know, you see we've been going from the industrial age, which was very all about the body and physical. It
yeah.
was all mechanical thinking, where everything was pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
And that accelerated up to the end of that kind of consciousness, and it jumped into the information age, you know, where things got a lot faster, and we went into the mental realm, where everything's about mind and thoughts and information and all that. And that's accelerated through the internet and, you know, just global information access to the point where we can't process information really much more with our brain in that linear way. And I think we're just about at that point where we shift again into what I've just been calling it the intuition age, because it's
mm-hmm.
something where spirit now comes in as the main organizing force. So we've gone from body to mind to spirit, which is really, you know, an evolution, but fairly quickly, you know, that all those earlier cycles were very physical in nature. And now we're moving into an energy world where things are really, they're not just fast, they're instantaneous.
Right.
And that's because time is changing. You know, we really are not going to have a future anymore. Everything's absorbed into the present moment. And then the present moment becomes this huge reality where you have different frequencies within the present moment, and the future, what used to be called the future, is now a higher potential of the present. And it's in you now. And if you just raise your frequency, you can be in it, or you can have your present reality change quickly into that. So there's no more projection, you know, into the past or into the future. Mm-hmm. Everything comes to you in the center where you're sitting. You don't have to go anywhere. Do you know what I mean? It all comes to you.
Well, the metaphysical teachers have talked about the eternal now, and that is what you're talking about. That when you're going slow enough, you can remember the past and project into the future, but when you're vibrating at a really, really high rate, there's just the eternal now.
And so all that was in the future in the past is in the now. So you have access to knowledge that's so much greater than we could ever have imagined in a linear way of thinking, which is the old past, present, future way of organizing reality. You know, so when you're in the present moment, you know, your intuition is your main way of perceiving.
Well,
and which is, again, going back to that thing about your inner perceiver and listening to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can take current problems in your present day life, like the problem of breast implants, which don't work real well sometimes. You can actually go in, well, you can actually use future information to solve current problems. For example, back in the 1990s, I was in a spiritual group, and we were in that eternal now realm, and we met with people from the future who were coming back to study history, because I guess the 1990s was the beginning of the spiritual movement, and they were interested in it. And so essentially, we were speaking with them for a number of different sessions, and I asked about breast implants, and they said, well, breast implants don't exist, but there's serial injections of something called glycoaminoglycans. And now researchers are working on that exact thing, glycoaminoglycan stem cells and fat cell transfer as a future for breast implants, that they can be transformed into something with less problems. And what's very interesting is that a number of plastic surgeons have called me and you know, thinking they were calling for one thing, but actually they were researchers in stem cells and doing other things. And so I said to them, you know, you're not supposed to come in here and join me. What you're supposed to do is research. And let me tell you what the research needs to look like. And so I give them the information from the future, and presumably they've got the files and the brain bites and the, you know, the information about stem cells and everything that I don't have, so that they can take that information and create the future. So you see how the future came back to the present, and then the present becomes the future. But we basically can use, and you can do this on an individual level too. If you have a really significant problem in the present, you can use the future to help solve the problem by accessing it in the eternal now.
Yes, and in another way of saying that is to access the higher frequency of your own reality right now. Just actually expand your vibration. I used to have a thing where very early when I started opening up intuitively, I would see a council of people like a round table sitting up above my head. And when I meditated, I would just go up there. Like, you know, I guess I was raising my frequency, but I would just go up and sit at that table. And I had a chair at the table. And it was all telepathic. A thought would come about something I wanted to know, and then the insight would come from everyone out of a group mind into my mind. And I've seen now that there's going to be much more of a thing like this, where we have these meeting rooms at higher frequencies, where we can meet with people who want to give us higher technologies, you know, so that there are beings who are existing right now at higher frequencies
trying
and we
to help
can go
us
and,
with
and
current
meet
problems.
With them.
Right. Well, I have some information about what you just said. I worked with the Mago Institute, and we were filming Ram Dass, and I was sitting there with with some other people, but I was just observing the interview, and I observed that every time the interviewer asked Ram Dass a question, he was silent for a minute, and then there was a council above him. I could actually see the council,
mm-hmm.
and then I could see the information flow from the council into him, and then he would start to speak.
Yes.
And so that's a little, I guess, verification of what you said.
Yeah.
Independent verification.
I think that, you know, partly...
It's fascinating.
When we learn to... Well, first of all, we need to learn to adjust our frequency up and down the scale to whatever
right.
level we want to focus at. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of a new practice, I think, of re-engaging imagination and
mm-hmm.
working with the imaginal realm as though it's kind of a workshop space.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want in there. So doing that, but also learning to form group mind consciousness with other people here in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
To unify our minds into a common frequency, then raise up as a group and match other groups at a
mm-hmm.
higher level, and telepathically there will be these downloads.
Yeah,
and
well, that's what we did in the 1990s. That was
yeah.
exactly what we did. We had a group of 7 clairvoyants.
Mm-hmm.
We raised our frequency, and we met with another group of clairvoyants studying who were historians. That's what they said. They were historians.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we met in the higher realm that you were talking about that we can now access.
Yes.
So that's a great way to solve problems.
Well, I've been thinking a lot, or I've been seeing this image for years, that it's children that are going to be doing this
mm-hmm.
probably first, because there a lot of the kids, and they're maybe in their 20s now even, have been kind of coming out of the mental plane.
Mm-hmm.
They've been used to being focused in the mental plane where everything's very fast and very
right.
unified, and group mind is the way it is.
Right.
And they're used to that. So that's partly why they're so group-oriented now. You know, they're
right.
either in gangs or they hang out together
right.
in big groups.
Yeah.
And I was seeing this image of kids and adults sitting together and inventing things.
Yeah.
That,
well.
You know, even little children would be getting ideas for new inventions,
mm-hmm.
the coming out of this higher resonance.
Mm-hmm. Well, Penny, we're coming to the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Yes. People can reach me through thefrequencybook.com. That's the easiest way. And there's a page there for radio listeners to get some free stuff. So thefrequencybook.com. And I do pretty in-depth life readings, and my newsletter will have all kinds of information in it, too, so that you can sign up for that on that website.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was a fascinating discussion.
Yes.
I've been interviewing Penny Pierce, the author of Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration. And next week, we will have back Brian Rosner on the top 10 Lyme treatment. The top 10 Lyme disease treatments, because the last time we had one, we only got the 3 of them. Defeat Lyme disease. I only gave him a half an hour. It wasn't enough. Defeat Lyme disease is complicated. Defeat Lyme disease with the best of conventional alternative medicine. And then on the 12th, we have Dr. Edward Close, Nature's Mold Treatment, the non-toxic solution to toxic mold. All of Atlanta should listen to this, because Atlanta's dealing with the toxic mold from the flood. On the 19th, we have Dr. John Turner, who's a neurosurgeon in Hawaii, Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations, A Doctor's Journey Through the Worlds of Divine Intervention, Near-Death Experience, and Universal Energy. And then on the 26th, we have Dr. William Norquist, The Stealth Killer is Oral Spirochetosis, the Missing Link in Dental and Heart Disease. We do not have Noetic Science this month. We will have it on the third Thursday in January. I'll announce that later on. If you would like to have our calendar and community health source, please contact us at 770-457-4677 or go on the web to www.templeofhealth.ws, where all of the newsletters are up. Again, Penny, thanks so much. I appreciated you calling in and talking with us. And
thank you, Susan. It was really fun.
And good luck with your next book.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.